looking back at AirVenture for 2011 with CFI Max Trescott. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. It's time to wrap up EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2011. Almost got ahead of myself there. And to do that, something we've done the last couple of years is try to get together with Max Trescott, 2008 CFI of the Year, the guy who literally wrote the book on operating the Garmin G1000, and who has spent a good bit of time getting out and seeing stuff that, frankly, because of our production schedules for Aero News and Aero TV, maybe we haven't got to. And we wanted to close down AirVenture by talking with Max about what he's seen. And Max, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Great to be here, Paul. This is one of my favorite events, is just catching up with you at the show every year.
Well, thank you.
Probably the recurring theme that I see throughout this is more electronic this, that, and the other. And I mean that both on the electronic power plant, you know, side, electric engines and so on, as well as obviously on the black box side. For example, if you have an iPad, it turns out that every vendor at Oshkosh now offers something for your iPad. So you only have about 1,000 new apps to choose from.
Well, and frankly, if they would certify the iPad as a an avionics device, it would replace a lot of panels and do more than they're doing.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. But that's probably one of the biggest things I've seen is that whereas at last year's show, there were probably three, possibly four vendors that had all singing, all dancing EFISes, such as, you know, ForeFlight and, electronic flight bags, ForeFlight and WingX. Now there are probably at least eight or nine. Plus, you're getting specialty ones. You know, if you're in Australia, hey, they've got their version right, with all the runways and all the maps and all that kind of stuff. Even Jeppesen, for example, has just said that they've got a whole new platform. You can get all of your digital subscriptions on Jeppesen, which is great if you're an airline pilot, because now you have your Singapore charts as well as your JFK right, charts, you know, all in one place, and they're planning to continue to grow that to add weather and you know, add all the other things. So it looks like, you know, we're going to have just a huge plethora of things available for the iPad, and eventually there's going to be a shakeout, and not all those are going to survive.
Well, I thought in the avionics field, a couple of really noteworthy things were Avidyne deciding to go right in Garmin's face with a replacement for the stuff in the stack, and then also Aspen bringing the cloud inside the cockpit. The joke was, does that mean I have to be instrument rated now? But the whole idea that there would be an open source protocol by which devices can communicate, I think it's really exciting because a lot of the innovation will come from the small guys, especially the affordable innovation.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot of connectivity kinds of things, ways you can connect your iPad to your instruments, which is great. People have always been saying, I'd like to put together a flight plan at home. I don't want to have to sit in the airplane with the propeller turning, you know, putting in 15 waypoints. So the connected panel technology that was introduced at Aspen Avionics in conjunction with ForeFlight certainly going to help with that kind of thing. Interesting thing is WingX came out with their new big thing, which was a synthetic vision. So now you can use your iPad to, even if you were, you know, in poor visibility, to see where the mountains are and things like that. So both of those people seem to be constantly leapfrogging each other, but with slightly different kinds of mixes, but still very powerful, technologies. The synthetic vision is interesting in that it's a software add-on for about $100 a year, and if you do nothing else, when you're doing turns, it's a flat turn. It would be as if you were taxiing, right? There's no banking. However, for $700, there is a portable AHARS,
right,
which is remarkable because that was the technology that made the G1000, you know, possible, except their AHARS was probably many thousands of dollars. And now in just a seven-year period of time, that's boiled down to something smaller than a box of cigarettes for $700. And if you buy that add-on with WingX, now you'll actually see the airplane banking and yanking at all the different attitudes as you fly.
What else did you see outside of avionics that really caught your fancy this year? I know that you've been interested in power plants that are starting to move, maybe not to full electric, but somewhere in between.
Well, I saw that Flight Design had brought out their turbo hybrid engine, and you can think of it as a Prius for an airplane, you know, basically. And their whole idea is that you only need full power at takeoff. So why don't we go ahead and put in the electric engine as the booster to give you that additional power that you need on takeoff? And then once you, you know, get back up to altitude, the engine is going to recharge the batteries for a few minutes, and then the engine is going to essentially throttle back, you know, by itself, if you will. So the whole idea is it's going to be, you know, more economically fuel-wise. On the other hand, you know, this is a prototype, and so who knows when this may see the light of day.
I always am fascinated to see some of the, for lack of a better word, vaporware engines that that come out to Oshkosh every year. There's another. There was another axial piston engine here this year. There was a turbine that was in the, you know, CAD rendering slash proposal or a concept stage that would be a turbine of an appropriate power level for smaller GA aircraft. There were a couple of interesting things around. What else did you see?
You're right. I did see that very tiny jet engine. It looked like it was something that was larger than you'd use for an RC aircraft, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. It was only, I can't remember how much thrust it was, but it was teeny tiny. So, yeah, we're in a brave new world in terms of power plants. And I really think that's the next frontier. I think there's been a lot of work in the last 15, 20 years in electronics. I think increasingly in the next decade or two, we're going to see a lot of power plants getting changed out. Let's see, you mentioned Avidyne. One of the interesting things about that was that the new stack instruments leveraged the software investment they made in R9, mm-hmm. which, of course, was their new version of the software.
And it also shortens, theoretically, the path to FAA certification because the FAA's been through all those bugs.
Right, exactly. So that's really smart of them to leverage the software investment, which is probably now the harder part. You know, hardware, hey, that's pretty easy to patch together.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that just as Garmin was able to reverse evolve their new radio stack equipment into a touchscreen that turned the G1000 into the G3000. The R10 apparently will very likely be touchscreen, and they didn't even really dance around that too much.
So when's the R10? Is that next Oshkosh?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I certainly don't know either. Hey, let's talk about the opposite end. This is actually something that's on the low end, but would apply to many owners of 1960s, 50s airplanes. I actually got to see for the first time something I hadn't heard of, which is the easy flap handle. Now, I know this sounds silly, but if you have something like a Cessna 180 or Piper Aero and you have to reach down to lift up the flaps, you know that you're first going to have to loosen the seatbelt and you're going to suddenly lose your sight view of the runway as you reach down to grab that thing. So, there's a fellow who has put together the easy flap handle, which extends all of that. So now you can actually watch the runway as you raise the flaps. Simple, brilliant. I think that's going to be just a simple little thing for older older aircraft owners. Electro-air, now electronic ignition for every Lycoming engine out there and certificated aircraft. So that's a really big deal. Before, the experimental guys could do electronic ignition. Now anybody with a Lycoming can do it. Soon they'll probably have it for all the Continentals as well. What else? Oh, hey, we should talk pop culture. Who's here?
That Fly Wild Alaska or whatever. I spend so little time with TV, I haven't seen the show, but I understand it's the most successful debut of a show ever on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I believe it's Flying Alaska Wild, and I'm not sure because it does seem to be in an unusual order. Yeah, that has been a really popular show. I think there were a dozen episodes that have aired so far. It's very captivating. It's the thing that's closest to GA that you can imagine because they're flying 206s, 180s. They've got some larger aircraft, but it's stuff that every pilot could easily jump into and actually fly. And they're showing the rigors of what it's like to fly in Alaska, as well as the drama. Of course, we don't know how much of that is real and how much is scripted. Oh, wait, no, it's reality TV. None of it could be scripted, right?
Oh, of course. You know what the actual legal definition of reality show is?
No.
It's scripted by non-union writers.
You're serious? Yeah. Oh, that's a riot. Anyway, for those that love the Tweedos, Ariel Tweedo is here for 2 days in the Cessna booth along with three of the pilots. So that's kind of fun. They were mobbed, by the way, yesterday. And I talked to their manager, and they were just stunned. They thought, maybe 50 people will show up. No, hundreds of people lining up to meet those people. So that's kind of the opposite end of things.
50 people would have shown up if they'd gone to a shopping center on a normal Saturday. This is their venture.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, exactly. This is the core audience, right? Yeah. I mean, here you probably have 70% of the people that tune in to watch.
Max Trescott is my guest. We'll be back in a moment, wrapping up Oshkosh 2011. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222. $220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Max Trescott, wrapping up Oshkosh 2011, talking about some of the things Max has seen, and it's always good to get a different perspective because, you know, when we're in the trailer and we're doing the press conferences and we're doing all that, a lot of what we see is driven by what is being announced by companies. And it's usually not till later in the week that we get out and actually start to see the grounds and look for ourselves and see what's in the exhibit halls and in some of the exhibit booths out in the main area. Max, what have you seen that trend-wise in new stuff that looked like it might be a shift in direction for the industry?
This was really interesting to see because I actually got a view into this a couple of months ago when I was writing an article. I flew with the California Highway Patrol in one of their aircraft, and at that time they said to me, you know, it's interesting, Max, the economics are shifting. We're finding that with the new cameras, which are very heavy, we can actually get better pictures from our 206 Cessna at 3,000 feet than our helicopters can get at 500 feet. So that makes a big difference because huge difference in operating cost plus less noise to let the bad guys know, you know, where you are. And so a couple of different companies here were offering law enforcement packages in non-helicopters. So probably the more traditional one, if we could call that, of the two that I saw, would be Flight Design. So Flight Design has a law enforcement package for their CTLS, and essentially that adds a really nice camera on the wing, so it's got both infrared as well as full color. So the infrared is going to be, you know, useful for searching for grandma if she's wandered off, you know, into the woods, you know, for example. So it's got resolution, you know, sufficient for doing that. It's probably not going to pick someone, you know, out of a crowd. It's also got the full color as well. Plus they've got the capability, not with this generation, but will be coming, where you can essentially just type in the address of where the call is located. The camera then instantly zooms in on that particular location. So even while you're miles away, you can still be kind of watching the scene which is going on, and then of course you literally have, you know, the lights and the sirens and the, you know, the PA, you know, put your hands up. In the airplane, and the operating costs are so low compared to helicopters. Tulare County, which is just near Bakersfield, has purchased a CTLS for law enforcement, and a number of other agencies are looking at it now. The less traditional one is the gyroplane with the law enforcement package, and so those guys are the
Well, there were two of them right across the street from each other in the space where Diamond was last year was Sportcopter, and they brought the Sportcopter 2 that was set up with FLIR and the panel and the whole nine yards. And then across the street from them were the German guys, Autogyro GmbH, which brought several machines. They have a dealer network building now, so they've got some machines coming into the country. They're done on a very fast quick build program with Builder Assist, and they're registered as experimental amateur build. And there's a guy named Michael O'Shea in the Department of Justice who's consulting the Department of Justice in a program where federal funding is used to acquire and place these machines with local law enforcement agencies that apply for the grant. So it's going to be really interesting to see that test roll forward.
Yeah, so the one that I was looking for and I just brought it up here was the Turbo Golden Butterfly Gyroplane. I don't know why I couldn't remember that combination. A lot of words strung together. Anyway, that's Butterfly LLC's turbocharged gyroplane. And they told me that it is the most powerful gyroplane out there. It can lift the most amount of weight. If you're, you know, 275-pound guy and you have a passenger, yeah, they can carry, you know, both of you in that. And they're offering that in two versions. There's going to be a fully assembled version for people who are buying it, either for law enforcement in the country or for outside for export. If you're buying it as a, you know, personal home builder, then you're going to have to assemble it 300 hours, I think, 51% rule, and $50,000 for a turbocharged helicopter. And I know you like helicopter gyroplanes a lot, so I think that's going to be a big shift. I think we're going to see some of these helicopters getting grounded as the economic shift more toward the gyroplanes.
Yeah, I had forgotten completely about Larry Neal, and I hate to say this, but that can happen to you when you're out in the ultralight ghetto. You know, you have to actually transfer from one tram to another to get out that far. Larry is a neat guy, and he's got a group down in the Southwest that is interested in doing a privately funded assistance program to Border Patrol and law enforcement to patrol the border. And he's put together a model for them that would use the Butterfly machines to do that. And that is an interesting development.
So let's see some of the other kinds of things. Oh, you're talking about the backwater of the ultralight world, which is it's more than a mile from where we're sitting. If anyone's never been to Oshkosh, this place is large, and it's probably closer to 2 miles from one end to the other. So I watched the laser ultralight fly, and laser was an ultralight introduced more than 25 years ago. The gentleman who sold those aircraft has now put two very light electric engines on it, lots of batteries. In fact, they're all RC batteries. He uses 96 RC, RC helicopter batteries. Gets more than an hour and a half. So a lot of interesting things happening down on that end of the field. But you're right, it's kind of a backwater. There are very few people, make it all the way down to that end, which is too bad.
Yeah, it's good they at least let them fly at dusk and dawn, because otherwise people might not know that is even going on down there.
Exactly. I think on the Washington side of things, with ugly specter of user fees, which reared its head a week ago as part of the deficit reduction talks, and that had been really off the table for several years, but it kind of pops up regularly, every probably 8 or so years.
Well, it's time to wrap this up, and our listeners are hearing this on Monday, so this would be the last day before before the government hits the debt ceiling. So this would be the day to do it if you can. I don't know if you'll actually reach your federal lawmaker, because he's probably pretty busy, but it's worth a shot. Well, Max, let's close by telling us what's new in the world of Max Trescott. We've seen you in a lot of different forms of social media and books, and you've been writing for EAA. The mix seems to have shifted of late.
Well, I can tell you, it's shifted heavily this week. I've been doing videos for EAA, so if you go up to eaavideos.org, you'll see about 40 different videos I've done this week interviewing different folks. So I've been using a lot of suntan lotion out there in the field, having a really great time talking with people at the grassroots level and finding out what's going on. Continuing to look at other new book projects, nothing to announce. And I, believe it or not, spend a lot of time in the right seat. I just absolutely love teaching, so I'm still doing a lot of that.
Well, Max, we always appreciate your help in wrapping this up, because you seem to always find things to look at that we had missed. And thanks for taking some time with our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. I love it. Let's do it again next year.
Max Trescott is the 2008 National CFI of the Year. You can find out more about him, find his blog and his products at maxtrescott.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.